Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here's the bloop kick off the short one, and it is caught by Micah Hyde in the air, and he's going to run the other way.
Go down.
Micah Hyde running at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone, touchdown. Micah Hyde caught it in the air, ran it into the end zone for the touchdown.
All right, that's what we're going to play today. That's it. That's good. That's a good highlight. It's a good highlight. I love Eric Wood. Get down. Get down. I talked with Micah Hyde about it in the locker room after the game. He went through kind of what he was thinking, what he was looking at, and he basically said, we might have that. You have Micah Hyde? Want to hear what he said about that? Let's start the show off with that. Well, this is why we'll start at the end, then go to the beginning and kind of reset what happened yesterday. This is Micah Hyde in the locker room on whether or not he should have went down. He fully says he should have went down.
I literally caught the ball, and I'm just like, yo, there's nobody here. The end zone was just like, oh, and I'm like, I just went. I literally, as I'm running, you can watch the film, I kind of peeked to the sideline and was just like, oh, man, I don't know what to score. But it's kind of, this is a crazy league. I gotta go down. They, you know, even though there's a minute, I've seen crazier things in this league for them to come down and score on another onside kick, get it, one play, field goal, somehow tie it up. So good play, but I got to go down.
There you go. Micah Hyde. He said it. It's funny. I tweeted that quote out after the game, and many of you said, oh, no, I'll take it. Like, he needs to score. You didn't say that when Fred Jackson was being ruled down at the 1 against the Patriots. You loved that, didn't you? You didn't want him to score. But I know it was a one-score game then, or it was a tie game then. They needed the field goal. This did make it a two-score game. Different situation, but it's okay. It's all good. And for those of you who had the Buffalo Bills defense in fantasy football, defense/special teams, you were particularly happy that Micah Hyde scored the touchdown at the end of the game. And that sealed the deal for a Bills 31-21 victory over the Miami Dolphins at New Era Field yesterday. By the way, what Micah Hyde did, a lot of you may remember, 20 years ago, almost, December of 1999, Henry Jones, Bills safety, did the exact same thing at Arizona against the Arizona Cardinals. And the final score of that game, 31-21, just like yesterday at New Era Field. It all comes full circle. Welcome into the Extra Point Show. My name is Sal Capaccio. Glad to be with you today on a Buffalo Football Monday. Can we just take a sigh of relief today, a collective sigh of relief, and go, all right, I want to practice this, whether you're listening at home, maybe you got your Alexa, you told her to play WGR 550, maybe you're in your car driving, listening, maybe you got us on your radio.com app. You're listening on Rewind, great new feature, all right? Whatever it is, we're all going to do this together, a collective sigh of relief after what happened yesterday. You ready with me, Derek?
All right, let's do this. Should we get Howard involved here?
Hey, Howard, a collective sigh of relief, all right? Howard's in the studio. I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, we're all going to breathe in, and then give a nice big sigh of relief. 1, 2, 3.
Whoa, what the heck?
I don't know what that was.
That was more of an
I think you need to stop smoking or something.
I know what's going on. Exasperated sigh because that was my feelings about yesterday.
Well, you know what? It all counts, and we can talk about it today for a lot of different reasons. The Extra Point Show, I love taking your phone calls, and I know we're going to take a lot today on a lot of different things. There's going to be a mixed bag of reaction today, as there should be, because I think a lot of you are kind of conflicted on how you should feel about yesterday. A win is a win is a win. We hear that all the time in the NFL. At the same time, wasn't really the kind of win we anticipated, expected, or think this team should have had against the opponent that they were playing. The Bills beat the Miami Dolphins 31-21 at New Era Field. We'll get to your calls on that. No guests, no interviews, just calls. That's what we do here on the program. We'll take them up until noon, and then I'll hand it off to John Murphy and Steve Tasker for One Bills Live. Show up in the Bulldog at 3 o'clock. We'll hear from Micah Hyde during their show. He'll be live with them. Sean McDermott will speak to the media. I'll be down there at the stadium a little bit later this afternoon, as well as coordinators Brian Daboll and Leslie Frazier. We'll hear from them as well. The bottom line is the Bills are 5-1. It's a great record. Great record. 5-1. They're sitting pretty right now in the AFC standings as far as wild card contention. And look, I mean, this thing, there's still action in the division, right? New England is 6-0. We know that. The Bills still play them again. They have a game at New York tonight against the Jets. They still have a stretch of their schedule where there's some games where teams can beat them, not banking on it. But the Bills are in a good spot right now after yesterday's win over the Dolphins, 31-21. We'll get to my Hey Buddy a little bit later. We'll stand up. We'll sit down. Got everything that we normally have on the program today. But I want to start with the big picture here. Now, I suspect for most of really today into tomorrow until we get to about Wednesday and start thinking about the Eagles, while people are still reacting to this game, there's going to be two basic reactions. One is going to be, oh my gosh, they played so terrible. If they play like that next week against the Eagles, they'll lose. They're not as good as people thought. That's one reaction that's going to come my way today. Another reaction is going to be, hey, who gives a darn? It's all about getting the W, baby. And that's what they did. Well, guess what? Both of those reactions are right. Now, you can be, and you should be, really happy with yet another win for the Bills. 5-1. 11th time in franchise history, they've started their first six games with at least five wins. One time they were 6-0, the other times, 10 times, they were 5-1. And now, with every passing week, inching closer to a playoff berth. However, there's also nothing wrong out there with being upset and concerned that they not only let Miami hang around in this one, but came dangerously close to us talking about a loss today. Now, the truth is this. If the Bills play like they did for the first 2.5 quarters yesterday, I would even say first 40 minutes yesterday, they're not going to beat many teams in the NFL. That's the truth. The reality is also that game is over. And that doesn't mean that they're going to play like that next week or the week after. I say it all the time. I've been saying it for years. You know, I've been around football and sports long enough to understand, and you should as well, that every single game has its own DNA and plays out differently. What you get one week isn't necessarily what you're going to get the next. This is a week-to-week league. This one against the Dolphins just played out a little too close for comfort for most Bills fans, considering the opponent. So was it having a week off and being out of routine? Was it some good old Fitz magic? Was it poor game planning by coaches? Was it not having the same sort of edge and intensity because they were facing a winless opponent? Was it simply facing a team that was really, really desperate to finally get their first win? I suspect all of the above is possible. I'm not sure exactly where to pinpoint it. All of those things may play into it. But whatever the reason, the Bills pretty much played flat and lifeless for 40 of 60 minutes. They made too many mistakes and not enough plays. They're certainly going to have to play better next week and going forward. I'm also confident they can play better than that, by the way. Now, at the end of the day, they found a way to get it done in the fourth quarter. Again, Josh Allen played his best football when his team needed him most. And the defensive special teams closed the deal. Tre'Davious White, Micah Hyde, the big plays came when they needed them. So here's the deal. This one is over, and they did not dominate as expected. I thought they would. I said they should. But they did take care of business in the end and got the W. It all adds up, once again, to being 5-1 in a brand new week against a disappointing Eagles team who's going to be looking to get back on track themselves after the way they've looked. Nothing that happened yesterday means anything about next week or the week after or anything else. Just like nothing that happened week one or week two meant anything to week three or week four. You get the point. It's week to week. Everything's different. Everybody starts differently. Starts over, I should say. And we get to Sunday. Sunday. Eagles. I mean, the Bills win that game. They're going to be 6-1. That would be a pretty remarkable record to have. And they have a legitimate shot to do it. Last I checked, the Bills are favored by 1.5, I believe. But the truth is they have to play better than they did yesterday. I expect them to. We'll see if they do. And if they do, we'll have a much different feeling than we do today. Because today, probably a little conflicted out there. That's why I'm interested to get to these phone calls. 803-0550, 888-552-550. Head to WGR550.com. You can read my arrow up, arrow down column. What was good, what was bad, who was on the arrow upside, who was on the arrow downside. I also have the current AFC standings, where you will find the top four teams are the division leaders: New England, Kansas City, Baltimore, and Indy. And then the Bills in the first wild card spot, number 5 seed overall at 5-1. The Texans in the second wild card spot at 4-3. The Bills, a clear game and a half lead on the next wild card team, and a clear 2-game lead on anybody sitting outside the playoffs looking at them. They're in a good spot right now. They need to keep taking advantage of it. Let's go to Bill, who's up first on the Extra Point Show. Hi, Bill. Thanks for hanging around.
Thank you much. First time caller, long time listener. You're all over the place, though, Sal. You work a lot.
I try to. Yeah, it's got to pay the bills, but it's awesome. I love my job. I love being around football, and it keeps me busy, keeps me out of trouble, man. That's what the case is, Bill.
All over the place.
Thank you.
Josh Allen in a second, but I do want to say I drive my wife crazy because you got this little jingle with your name, Apaccio. I break out into that stupid thing while I'm just sitting in the car or at home.
Nothing wrong with that. Why don't you download it as a ringtone or something? I should make the Sal Capaccio song a ringtone. That's what I should do. People send me videos of their kids singing it all the time. No shame in that. I do, honestly. I'm honored. I appreciate that, Bill. Thank you for listening. What's on your mind on the game?
Well, as far as Josh, you know, what I'm happy to see is that he's, you know, he played to his coaching. Don't give up the ball. Don't throw the interception. Don't fumble. And when we need you, come back. I know in the last show they were talking about somebody compared him to Tyrod Taylor. But compare him to the guys that he was drafted with. Sam Darnold, I'd rather have Josh Allen. You know, Baker Mayfield, he is a prima donna, and he's doing lousy. Even Lamar Jackson, we could have had Jackson as a second quarterback, but instead we got the quarterback of our defense with Tremaine Edmonds. So this guy, I think he's paying attention. He's got a howitzer for an arm. I mean, we sit six rows up and at the 40-yard line. The guy's got a howitzer, and if he can be coached, I think our upside is incredible.
I think he's very coachable. So I don't think that's a question. Not saying you're saying he can't be. I love that you love, you know, what you've seen from him. I'm not gonna, you know, dispute that you want him over the quarterbacks you said, but I think there's a lot of guys in there. I think Sam Darnold's pretty good, by the way, and he's going to be good. I think he's in for a really good career. We'll see. I wonder if Sam Darnold actually is going to have the organizational structure around him to succeed in the NFL to his own potential, because I think he's really good. I think Baker Mayfield has been very good in this league, but he's having a down year right now, and you know, people are starting to figure out some things he's done. Lamar Jackson's been terrific, obviously. Running the ball, throwing the ball, the entire package. So the only one that really in that draft class that has not done anything is Josh Rosen. But the other four, I think, have done a really nice job so far. And did I say four? Three? Yep, including Allen. The other four in their own right and in their own regard and within the construct of their teams. So, yeah, you could, and I could understand why, as a Bills fan, you would want Allen there. But I think it's way too premature to, you know, say he's going to have a better career or be better than any of those guys. I like what a lot of those guys are bringing to the table right now. John, you're up next on the Extra Point Show. What's up?
Hey, I just want to say what an honor it is to talk to you. You by far are the greatest Buffalo Bills reporter that there has been and ever will be.
Oh, man, that is amazing. That is like Bills Reporter Hall of Fame status. I appreciate that. Thank you, John, though. Seriously, thank you, and thanks for giving me a call.
By far the best there is, man. I love listening to you. I think you're I wake up in the morning from Las Vegas just to hear you, man. You're awesome.
All right. I love Vegas. It's a great city. I've been out there many, many times. Do you work out? Do you work like in the casino industry, or what do you do?
No, I'm a what's it called, police officer.
Awesome. Thanks for your service. Appreciate that.
No, thank you. I was a cop in New York first, but regardless, just wanted to say that two things mostly. Just Allen has to really start learning how to throw this long ball out there. It's killing us in very, very key moments. I was looking at statistics. There's a statistic out there on Pro Football Focus that 22% of a game is hitched around the fact that a long ball needs to be completed at least one time to make a team, you know, the average team that goes into a playoff has at least 22% of his passes down the field and completes at least 40% of those 22 passes down the field. So, with that, I don't think Allen has even thrown maybe more than 8 that's been caught, and I think that's starting to hurt us. But, you know, just having a fourth quarter magic isn't just everything. We need to have magic from the first and the third.
I think that's the bigger thing, John. I think the consistency is what's lacking here from the entire offense. But even Josh, you know, he has been a gamer in the fourth quarter. He's come up big when they've needed him. But I agree with you. I'd like to see a full four quarters. You know, there has been other games where, like in the Giants game, I believe it was, he was over 200 yards by halftime, and in the second half wasn't nearly as good. So we're still all waiting for that four-quarter game to come from Josh Allen. I think the consistency, and it would help if he was able to connect, obviously, on those ones you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. And the only other thing I have for you was, just John Feliciano just had a really rough game. He let up a lot of pressures, and I was very – for me, I think Feliciano was one of those bright spots on our line. I mean, hopefully he'll get it back together, but it was just – it really showed a depletion on his part. We were very ineffective, you know, in the beginning of the first half. I think they were using a lot of bull rush, sending people off the – you know, a lot of the pass, the deflection, everything come from the middle. It was tough to see that on John's part because he's a tough guy. He's a good person. So
yeah, thanks for pointing that out. I'll go back and look. I haven't rewatched the game, but I'll focus on that. Thanks, John.
No problem.
Yeah, thank you for the kind words too. Very nice of you. I'll look. I know what they were doing. The Dolphins, they were undermanned on the defensive line. They lost Christian Wilkins on the second play of the game. He punched Cody Ford. Like, what is that? I think it was Cody Ford he punched, and they lost him on the second play of the game, so they're down defensive linemen. So, as Eric Wood pointed out really well on the broadcast, what they started to do was they didn't really have enough defensive linemen, and they just kind of walked linebackers around the line of scrimmage, and nobody knew where guys were coming from. And I know Brian Flores comes from the New England tree, and they've done that as well. So they kind of went to the New England type of philosophy against Josh Allen, which is we're just going to confuse him. He's not going to know where guys are coming from. And there were times it looked like he was kind of caught on what to do. There were other times he did have time, and he made correct decisions and reads, but I think it impacted everything as far as you go into a game with a game plan as an offensive line. You know what they do. You see them on film. And to John's point, who just called, you know, maybe Feliciano, maybe there were some things they were doing that kind of confused him. But I'll go back and look at that. Thanks, John, for the phone call. Here's the thing. I've taken 2 phone calls now on Josh Allen. I got in here today, and Howard said, boy, I can't believe how many calls we had on the deep balls about Allen. And I was listening this morning. And you're not all wrong. You're right. And I understand that that's something they need to do better. I understand that that is something you want to see happen, that this offense needs to inject into themselves because they were good at it last year. That's what Josh Allen's strength was. His strength was throwing deep and running last year. But yesterday, separately, Josh Allen was not at all a reason why this team almost lost to the Miami Dolphins. He didn't have a great first half, but he was okay. He didn't throw for a lot of yards. He missed a couple plays. But yesterday, of all the things that you can take in and say, this went wrong, that went wrong, this is to blame or whatever, I would put Josh Allen very far down that list. He was 10 of 11 in the second half, by the way. Very good half. Wasn't great in the first half, but the defense was far more worrisome and had issues yesterday more than Josh Allen. And again, I know the calls we've taken haven't said Allen was an issue yesterday, but missing on the deep balls kind of gets you a little closer to saying that. And if he hits one of those deep balls, one to Andre Roberts, one to John Brown, he hits one of those, it's a different discussion about his game. There's no doubt. But I thought he was fine yesterday. Not great in the first half, not horrible, very good in the second half. Let's go to James, who's next. Hi, James, you're on WGR.
Hey, Sal.
Hi, you're on the air, buddy.
Hey, 2 things was, it seems like Jerry Hughes could probably have like at least five more sacks. I mean, yesterday should have probably gotten Fitzpatrick 3 times.
I feel like that every week, you know, that I really do. I think Jerry gets close every week and doesn't get the sacks he deserves sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, come on, twice he had him wrapped up and he got out.
Yeah, he's still he's a good player. He puts pressure on. He does good things. Goes to the ball. That's why he recovered that fumble, obviously. But, yeah, I think he's close a lot.
Yeah, and the other thing is I'm hoping they make a trade for a wide receiver before the deadline.
Anybody you want in particular?
I wanted Diggs, but I figure that's not happening, especially after Dealin and the way he's been playing lately.
Agreed. AJ Green interest you?
Yes. And I mean, other than the injury he's been on, but maybe that helped get him not, maybe at a lower value than you would have to pay for him.
I just read last night that maybe Emmanuel Sanders could be on the block. Would that be someone that you'd think that could fit?
No, I would prefer more of a big target.
I mean,
Tom Brown at number two, I think, is like awesome.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think Emmanuel Sanders is any really different or special than the guys they have, you know? So I know that he may be on the block, but that doesn't seem like it's something that's going to necessarily help this team. And let's be honest, Robert Foster is still on this team, and he was a healthy scratch. That's an option they can have to help them if they need it.
Yeah, and then even maybe Corey Davis in Tennessee if they keep, you know, stinking it up.
Well, they won yesterday, and Corey Davis actually had a really good game yesterday, right? At least I saw he had some fantasy points, so I don't think Tennessee's interested in trading Corey Davis, right? Haven't heard anything about that. I love Corey Davis coming out of college. I don't think that's the case. Tannehill looked good for them yesterday. Let's go to Josh, who's up next. Hi, Josh. You're on the Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal. You know, as that game was playing out yesterday, it reminded me so much, and I think this was a year before you got on the Bills beat, but it reminded me of that 2010 Bills game where they went to Baltimore and took the Ravens to overtime.
Yeah, that was the 0-8 season, and then they wound up 4-4 in their last eight.
Right, and you know, Sean or was it Nelson? The tight end Nelson fumbled in overtime. But that whole game, you're watching it, and you're just like, "How are the Bills in this game? Every player I know that's good in this game is on the Baltimore sideline."
Yeah, right.
And you know, it was a Fitz game, so that's just kind of what that game reminded me of. As far as yesterday goes, I'm kind of in the middle. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say, "Oh, they should have pounded Miami." I'm going to be really nervous, but I'm also not just going to give them a pass and say, "Oh man, well they took Miami lightly." I think there's some concerning things from yesterday. I'm concerned that the offensive line continues to let blitzers run free on them. The deep ball thing to me is a little bit of a concern, but I think the overall thing that was the best point I heard yesterday on the postgame show was something Bulldog said is, this was really the Bills offense we've seen all year. The big difference yesterday was the defense was giving up long.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at it, the Bills scored on a great percentage of their drives. They just had field goals instead of touchdowns. And then late, they got two touchdowns when they needed them. The difference is Miami was doing a great job of staying on the field, having time-consuming drives, and then cashing those drives in with touchdowns. I don't think that's going to happen every week. I don't know why that was. I'm not worried about our defense by any means, but I think the biggest difference in yesterday's game was the defense, not the offense.
Yeah, you know, what's funny is, that's a great point you make, and Bulldog obviously made it yesterday, but for you to piggyback on it, Josh, you know, the offense averaged 6 yards a play yesterday. People might not realize that. That's a nice number. That's a good number that they only had 51 plays total that were live and counted, not counting penalties and stuff. They had 51 total plays. That's a really low number, and the reason is exactly what you just said, which is what Bulldog pointed out. The offense actually sustained some drives. They played well. They didn't punch the ball in. They made some mistakes. I think the drop by Dawson Knox is a huge difference in this game on where it could have went, but really it was more about the defense. I haven't heard a lot of people really call up and complain or take the defense to task today. And I'm not saying you should. They've been so good this year. But the defense allowed drives yesterday. And the defense allowed three touchdowns yesterday. And that's not something we're used to seeing. But to your point, to Bulldog's point in the postgame, what we saw from the offense is what we're used to seeing, which is they move the ball. They had some trouble scoring. They shot themselves in the foot a couple times. This time it was a little different than normal. They're usually good in the red zone. They couldn't come away with touchdowns yesterday when they got there. I think actually they might have been just outside the red zone, but the Dawson Knox drop was huge. I didn't like the 3rd-and-1 call when they were at the 16-yard line. That hurt them. So yeah, it was a little bit of a reversal for the defense, which really was ultimately why I think Miami hung around in this game. But Fitz was Fitz. You know, he gave his guys chances, and they made some plays, man. The guys, Gesicki made a few incredible catches. I like that guy. He's a good player. I'm sure Miami will trade him next week or something, but, you know, he's a really good player. All right, we're going to take a timeout. We got a lot of your phone calls to come. Great start to the show. Great phone calls so far, and we got a lot more to get to. We still got sit up, stand down, hey, buddy, and everything else that comes along with a Buffalo Football Monday on the Extra Point Show on WGR.
It never matters what the record is. I think the records wiped clean at the beginning of every game. And that's why we talk about going 1-0, because that's what it is. One play at a time, one quarter at a time, one game at a time. You look too far ahead, you look behind you where you came from. It's just a distraction.
That's Bills defensive end Trent Murphy. I mean, guys say it all week. We're allowed to say, it's the Miami Dolphins, they're 0-5, but they can't do that, and they can't prepare like that, and he's right. The records are wiped clean. Everybody's 0-0, trying to go 1-0 every game. Bills win 31-21 over the Miami Dolphins. Welcome back into the Extra Point Show. It's a Buffalo Football Monday here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Sal Capaccio with you. I want to tell you about my friends over at Firth Jewelers, because that's where I got my Movado watch that I'm still wearing all these years later. It's great. I love it. And they are great people up there who are going to take care of you. Just go see them. You got to go Forth to Firth up near the Falls Fashion Outlets on Military Road. They have a huge collection of watches that reflect your unique personality, from fashion watches like My Movado to sports watches featuring your favorite Buffalo football and hockey teams. They even have a new line of Harley Davidson watches, ladies and men's, for bike riders and fans to wear no matter the season or occasion. Firth features one of the largest single-store collections of watches, jewelry, and loose diamonds in all of Western New York, all at Firth-friendly savings. Their Firth Forever Guarantee gets you full credit. That's the full price you paid toward even finer jewelry forever. So for all the moments of your life, go Forth to Firth, just north of the Falls Fashion Outlets on Military Road. Get your watch from Firth, and you're going to be a Firth fan, too. I want to throw a stat out at you. Howard and I were just looking at this in the break a little bit because, you know, the last caller talked about the offense and, you know, actually played pretty well, and that's kind of the offense we've seen, the drives. The offense actually had its best day of the season yesterday in total average yards per play, 6.0. I said earlier that's a good number. I wanted to see just how good for the Bills. Here are the average yards per play by the Bills offense this season per game, every game. Week 1, 5.9. Week 2, 5.8. Week 3, 5.7. Week 4, 5.3. Week 5, 5.0. Yesterday, 6.0. Yesterday was the first time all year the Bills actually averaged 6 yards per offensive play. They did not play poorly on offense. They didn't execute at critical times on offense. That was the difference in why they had to settle for field goals. This game was not on them. I think the defense in this game did not play up to its standard, but came out with big plays when they needed it. That was the difference. 803-0550, 888-552-550. Trent has been holding on for a while. He's on the Extra Point Show. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up, Simon? I've spoken a long time, but had to get in on this one. You know, look, the Bills are 5-1. Years ago, these games that were close, they won, they would have lost. But when I look at the AFC, I see, to me, the better teams that had maybe 2 or 3 losses because they played the other better teams. They're kind of getting out the way. The Bills have a good schedule down the stretch, but they'll face Baltimore. And I'm just looking at AFC. I think Baltimore, to me, is probably, you know, it all depends what week they're playing. They're probably right there as one of the best teams, I think. I think the Patriots being 6-0, it's a very good record, but they're the Patriots. So you kind of give them a little bit of leeway, but at the same time, they haven't played that competition yet that the other teams like Baltimore, the Texans, even the Colts, when you look at that, Kansas City has an injury now with the quarterback. I mean, the second half will tell us all we need to know about the Bills, because they won't face these type of teams anymore. If you look at their wins, look, a win's a win. I'm with you 100%. But when you look at the Bengals and look at this and look at the Patriots, I don't think the Patriots are 6-1 to me. As good as they are, I think losses are coming because there's some good teams in AFC.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about as the Bills go on in the season? And then let's just jump ahead to playoffs.
I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, right, as you just said. But here's the thing, John. Like every game, by the time you get to Baltimore, who knows? Who knows who they are? Everybody kind of morphs throughout the season. And then your season kind of dictates your organizational stance and philosophy. For example, what I mean by that is where Pittsburgh is right now. They're still trying to play their butts off to do as best they can. Who knows, by the time we get to week 15, if Pittsburgh says, you know what, we need to start evaluating players for next year, right? That could be a different looking game. At the same time, maybe the Jets are actually playing for something in week 17, the flip side of that, whereas it would look like they wouldn't be. So I think you got to wait until you get to those situations, and we don't know who the Bills are then. They could have an injury, something could change. I agree with you. The second half is a little different. I still don't think it's all that daunting, considering they still have Washington, they still have Miami, they have a Denver Broncos team that has a good defense but can't score points. They have Dallas, who's Jekyll and Hyde, and Pittsburgh, who is without Ben Roethlisberger. I think that those are all still very winnable games. You there? Maybe not. I think he hung up. But there you go. That's what I think about that. All right, let's go out to Mark. Mark, you're on WGR.
Hey, good morning. A few comments. Why do you think the defense was so flat yesterday? Was it that they were missing Matt Milano that much, Sal?
Well, I think the two being flat is different than why they suffered in the run game and things like that. I think, first of all, I think the entire team seemed a little bit flat and lifeless to me for a little bit too much of the game. I don't think that's because of Matt Milano. I didn't think they came off a break. They are not in their routine. They're playing an 0-5 team. I think they may have lost a little bit of intensity and edge, and I was surprised, but that's what my read of it was. But I do agree with you that the defense did not have the day they had very much because Matt Milano was not a part of it. He seemed to me to be a big reason why his absence, that the Dolphins were able to run against them, especially up the middle.
Hey, well, anyway, like you said, we're 5-1, and we could go 7-1. And let me get back. I owe you an apology from 2 weeks ago. I'm the guy that called in and said, that's why they're coaches, and that's why you're a radio announcer. I tried getting back in. I didn't mean it to be derogatory towards you. I would give my left arm to give the job you and Howard have. You do a great job with the Bills. So if it was taken the wrong way, I apologize to you, Sal. You're an asset to the Buffalo Bills in the city of Buffalo.
Wow, thank you. You didn't have to do that. I appreciate it, and I'm glad that you're still listening. That's what means more than anything to me. Thank you very much, buddy.
Take care, sir.
All right, thank you. That's nice. Very nice. We're hugging it out today, man. That's good. Trying to hug out what happened yesterday. Like, how do you figure out what happened yesterday and put it into words and context and what it all means? I think we're all conflicted a little bit. That was nice of Mark, though. Thank you, Mark. When it happened at the time, I was like, what is going on here? But I don't want to even rehash it. I appreciate him saying that. Yeah, we're kind of conflicted on yesterday, right? I think a lot of people are. Like, what do you... Went into the game thinking, okay. And I said, they need to dominate this team. They need to dominate them and send them home going, okay, we had no chance. They didn't even threaten. That did not happen. The Bills were 2 yards away. The Dolphins were 2 yards away from leading 21-9 in the late third quarter. I heard on the overtime show, Joe DiBiase said at that moment, he's like, we're going to lose to the Miami Dolphins. I'm like, I was thinking the same thing. Like, wow. I started to think about what this show was going to sound like today when they were knocking on the door. I was thinking, Derek, what is the extra point show going to sound like tomorrow if this team loses to the Miami Dolphins?
I feel like you wouldn't have needed to ask that. If that would have happened, it would have been just angry. Angry is the theme.
I might have just come up with a cough today. I wouldn't have been here. Derek would have had to host the show.
Luckily, we didn't have to worry about that.
Yeah, that's they pulled it out, and that's what matters. And it is a win. It was a 10-point win. They were favored by 16.5, 17 points. If that mattered to you, I thought they'd win by about that. I predicted 24-7, I believe it was, maybe 24-6, whatever I said on the pregame show, either one. I thought they'd win by about that. They didn't, and that's okay. They still won. They made the plays when needed. They came up big in the fourth quarter and realized, hey, we're in a fight here against a team we shouldn't be, and 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Finally, ultimately sealed the deal. Let's go to John, who's up next. Hi, John. You're on WGR.
Yeah, hey, Sal. You're good on Spectrum Sports, too. I enjoy that.
Thank you very much.
The other thing is, though, that I wanted to say was, you know, looking at the big picture, you've got to give Brandon Bean a lot of credit because, now, did he sign Poyer and who's the other?
And Hyde?
Did he sign him?
No, he did not. They came here shortly before he was the GM.
Oh, yes.
They were signed in March of that year. He was hired after that.
Okay, but we all know that the top two receivers this year were.
Yes, correct. His doings were definitely the offensive line this year, the additions there. John Brown, Cole Beasley, yes.
Yeah, just think of what an upgrade they are over Benjamin and Zay Jones. I mean, if they still had those two guys, you know, they'd probably be 2-3. Or, you know, I mean, he is a very good evaluator of talent. And the fact that he gets excellent rookies with 4th, 5th, 6th round picks is, that's a tribute to him and his, you know.
And he loves his draft picks. He's accumulating capital. I did it the other day. I can't remember what it is. I think they have 20 draft picks or 18 draft picks, I think it is, over the next 18 of them, I think it is, over the next 2 years in 7-round drafts. A bunch of 5ths, a bunch of 6th. You know, he's stocking up on that, and they have some money to spend. So, you know, I think this organization, I think what you're getting to here, John, is I think this organization's in a good spot right now with Brandon Bean and what he's done and where they're going and what their vision is. Obviously, you still have to hit on those draft picks, and we're still figuring out the quarterback, right? I mean, I think he's done a lot of good things, enough good things for us to feel good about him, but I don't think anybody's totally thinking this is the guy that's going to be here for 12 years.
No, you can't assume that, but
right.
Yeah, I mean, Belichick does the same thing, right? Doesn't he try to get a lot of...
He does. It helps, but it helps when you have Tom Brady and you don't have to worry about the quarterback and you can build around him. And I think that's what the Bills would like to have, is a franchise quarterback in place where they can spend those assets on guys around them like they did with their money this year.
Yeah, the other thing is, I remember years ago hearing that, you know, Belichick and Jimmy Johnson were pretty tight. And Jimmy Johnson used to tell him that. He'd say, get as many draft picks as you can. That's how you win. And it's really lucky for the league that everybody but Dallas that they got rid of Jimmy Johnson, because that could have been a dynasty. Jimmy Johnson was, you remember how great they were when he was their coach, right?
I do, and he was great. He did a great job with them. I appreciate the phone call, but, you know, long time ago, and things were different. There was a 12-round draft then, too, by the way. 7 rounds now. Who? I wonder what the new CBA is going to do to this. New CBA coming, hopefully, in the next year or so. It runs out after another year. Looks like they're trending towards a 17-game season. That's what they want, the owners. And they'll give concessions to the players, but I don't know what that's going to be to get it there. I know Lorenzo said last week when asked about it, like, that's the players aren't going to do that. But, you know, it's always a negotiation. But I wonder what that means for free agency, franchise tag, draft, stuff like that. All that stuff could change in the next CBA. We could be talking about a whole new-looking NFL. Who knows? Thomas, you're up next here on WGR. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi, Sal. I love the show. Long-time listener.
Thank you.
I think what people lack is the realization that Fitz played good. Wasn't that the Bills played that bad? Fitz played out of his mind all.
You know, that's what you get from Fitz, right, Tom? You get sometimes you get really bad Fitz, sometimes you get really good Fitz. He was on yesterday.
Yeah, and. I don't think people realize that, and I think Allen, I mean, you're either going to get Burt Jones or John Elway. John Elway threw a lot of picks, but he won games. Burt Jones didn't throw that many picks, but he had a big arm, but he didn't, just wasn't that good.
I got you, man. I got you. Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, no, you know what? Fitz yesterday and your point about him, 23 of 35 for 282 and a touchdown. He played well yesterday. His guys made some great catches, by the way. His guys made great catches. I mean, they didn't have a ton of yards on offense. I talked about the Bills, how they had 6.0 yards a carry. I mean, I'm sorry, yards a play. The Dolphins had 5.8. It's amazing, right? I mean, they just had sustained drives. They took time off the clock. It was good. Like, the Dolphins had a good game plan. They stuck to it, and they played well. Give them credit. I think as long as Fitz stays the starter, which I'm assuming he's going to, they're going to win a game soon. I thought they'd be, like, the worst team I ever saw. They were not yesterday. Now, generally, they might be anyway when it's all said and done. Maybe yesterday was just a kind of a game where they were a little bit more jacked up. Fitz played well. Maybe they still start losing by 30, 40, 50 points. I don't know. But they go to Pittsburgh. They got the Jets at home. They go to the Colts. Then they get the Bills at home. And by that time, you know, you hope they get a win, because I don't want to go to Miami on November 17th with a winless Dolphins team. I hope they get a win before that, because yesterday turned out a little bit scary. 803-0550, 888-550-2550 here on the Extra Point Show. Hey, football players don't like to spend the season on the bench. You can earn 30 to 50 grand a year when you spend the season training for advanced manufacturing and energy positions behind the bench at Northland Workforce Training Center. Sal Capaccio here in Northland Workforce Training Center is officially open at their state-of-the-art facility, 683 Northland in the city of Buffalo. Go in, check out their pre-enrollment sessions. Those are any Tuesday at 6 p.m., Wednesday at 10 a.m., or Thursday at 4 p.m. Find out how easy and inexpensive it is to train for a new career. Once you're done learning, getting on the field is simple. Just complete your training, and Northland's going to help place you in a job making 30 to 50 grand a year. I've been out there. The facility is amazing. Steven does a great job out there running the place and really takes care of everybody who walks through his doors. So make sure you do that. Get a starting position when you spend the season behind the workbench training for jobs in advanced manufacturing or energy. There's dollars to be made in the skilled trade. Northland Workforce Training Center. They have the training. All they need is you. Just go to northlandwtc.org. That's northlandwtc.org.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Quick pass comes out quickly. Is fumbled out around the 27-yard line. Picked up by Jerry Hughes. Hughes runs to his right, still on his feet, inside the 25, and he's still on his feet, fighting for more yardage inside the 20. Hughes finally brought down at the 15-yard line.
John Murphy on the call right there. Sal Capaccio back here on WGR Sports Radio 550's Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Monday. My house was built in 1901. I got a wet basement for years living there. Been there about 8 years now. Could always see it underneath. So finally my wife said, we can get rid of this water under here. I'm like, I don't know how to do that. So I called Infinity Home Plumbing, and Jim Lovegrove came over and he said, Sal, you need a sump pump. And I had no idea what a sump pump was. And he explained it to me, and I said, all right, let's do it. So we put the sump pump in. It's amazing. My basement now is super dry. And all that built up water under the foundation for decades and decades is gone. It's amazing. And he keeps checking on me, making sure everything's good. And you need to call Jim when you have anything that goes on as far as plumbing concerns, issues, water, whatever it is at your house. And if you're a veteran or a senior citizen, he's going to make sure you get a discount because he wants to give back to those who gave to this country. And Jim is one who did as well. He is a veteran himself, and he is a master plumber. And you can find him at 293-0066. That's Jim Lovegrove, Infinity Home Plumbing, at 293-0066. Doesn't matter if it's 3 a.m. for an emergency, 3 in the afternoon while you're home, sitting around, something just doesn't seem right, whatever. You've been putting it off for a while, call Jim Lovegrove, Infinity Home Plumbing, 293-0066. Whatever it is, you can call Infinity and be done. All right. Let's get back out to the phone lines here. A lot of you chiming in on what happened yesterday. We're kind of all over the place, which is what I expected on the show today. Different calls about different things with the way yesterday happened, what went down. No doubt about it that was going to happen today. Let's go to Bob. Hi, Bob. You're on WGR.
Hey, I just wanted to say, you know, I look at the Bills. We're 5-1. I think today, beautiful day, people should be happy. I understand it's Miami. 0-5 teams are dangerous anyways.
Who's not happy?
No, I'm just saying. It seems like people are like, oh, boy, they struggled. They did struggle.
Yep.
You know what, though? Look at Houston. Look at Houston yesterday. You know, I look at it that way. Even the Cowboys were better than these teams as far as record-wise.
Yeah, but, Jim, Bob, I get it, man. I love the optimism. I love the passion. I love the fact that you're right. It's beautiful out. Be happy. I don't think anybody's mad or upset. I think that we're just doing what we do. We analyze a football game. And, you know, that's what you talk about, things that went right, things that went wrong. And, you know, you want to see them improve, because if you do those same things down the road, then you might lose some games. That's all. And it's okay to do that.
But you know what I love is the fact that people, like, you just look at Allen in the second half, 10 of 11 or something
yep.
like that. He does what he's got to do. The defense slid a little bit. It was nice to see the offense pull the game and say, okay, look at this. You know what I mean? It was a big interception by White, but still we came through and won it. And I feel real. I love being 5-1.
You should.
And look out, Eagles, because we're going to be there. That's all I want to
say. All right. No, that's great, man. I love it. I love the passion. Love the optimism. Be happy today. It's sunny out. The Bills are 5-1. It's October. I'm looking at next week's weather for the game. It's kind of changed a little bit for the better. It was supposed to be maybe a little rainy, high 40s, low 50s. It's now like mid 50s and sunny. It's looking like, I'm like, yeah, let's do this. Jeff, who's up next on the Extra Point Show. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Sal. How you doing, man?
Good. Thank you.
Good. Hey, the first thing, I was really a little bit concerned about the Miami-Vegas, you know, curse there. At 13-point spread, I was like, I'm not touching this game with a
10. Did it go off at 13? It was 16.5, I thought.
Yeah. I'm just saying even where it started at 13 was just like, oh, my gosh. But anyway, I just want to get your thoughts on Devin Singletary. I mean, are they saving him? Are they holding him?
It's a great question. I don't know. I wrote about it at my Arrow Up, Arrow Down column. He had no touches in the first half. He had a total of how many carries did he have total in the game? He had no pass, even targets. He only had 7 carries, 26 yards. I don't know the answer to that. It's a good question, Jeff. And maybe they're saving him, just don't want to. But I think mostly, if I had to really kind of pinpoint, I think it's they really believe in Frank Gore. He's their number one running back, and they didn't have the ball that much yesterday. They only had 51 total offensive plays, which isn't a lot. And Frank Gore is their number one guy, and since they didn't have the ball that much, it wasn't like he was getting overworked, and I think that's the reason. But I agree with you that I would like to see more of Devin Singletary.
Yeah, I think, you know, even that first game where he sat for so long, he was riding the bike, he was trying to stay loose, he was, you know, and the games were getting a little chillier. It just seems crazy not to get him going early, get him loosened up, get him, you know, get him sweating a little bit, and, you know, and start working him a little bit earlier so that he's going to be okay through the game.
Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, we can say that, and it sounds good, but they're 5-1. He's had a light workload, and the more they can do that, the more he'll be available later in the year, which may be by design, right?
Amen, brother.
All right, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I don't know the answer to that. I can only guess at the answer, but they are 5-1 and it's working out. And that's what matters in the end. That's called scoreboard. When someone talks smack, you go, well, scoreboard. That's what that is. All right, we're going to take a timeout. We'll come back here with a whole nother hour of this show. And then it's John Murphy and Steve Tasker at One Bills Live, down from One Bills Drive. And right now, it's Sal Capaccio on the Extra Point Show. More of your phone calls on the way on WGR.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.